listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, we're getting ready. Like a kid in a candy store. You know, stealing candy from babies. Whatever phrase you want to use. Here talking NFL Week 4 with you, Mike Harmon. And this is a treat for me. A guy admired him on the field and certainly here on the airwaves of Fox Sports Radio. First time getting to work with him. TJ Houshmandzadeh, one of the guys from one of the greatest tag teams in the 90s on the receiving end of things that folks forget how good you and Chad were. It's good to talk to you, TJ.
Mike, what's up, man? It's my pleasure, man. And the feelings are always mutual with me, brother.
Welcome in. We got a full slate of chaos. Obviously a lot this week, my man, of all the Patriots, Buccaneers. I think I'm about talked out on that whole subject. I don't know about you. I just want to watch a football game and see if New England actually has enough to hang around for a while.
I wouldn't say I'm talked out of just speaking on it so much, but I'm not going to lie. I'm really looking forward to this game. I expect a good game. I expect the Patriots to get destroyed. I really do. I just feel Bruce Arians is the type of coach where – he wants Tom Brady to be able to stick his chest out after this game. But I also know Bill Belichick is a smart coach. And Bill's going to try to force them to run the ball. He doesn't want Tom to get off, so to speak, in New England and Foxborough. So it's going to be very interesting. Tom knows him. He knows Tom. Let's see who can adjust better.
We'll go into a full preview of that game next hour. You know, the format's the same for those first coming in. And TJ, it's the whip around here. We've got 15 matchups left on the schedule. Do a quick look back at your former team and their eking out of a win on Thursday Night Football. Your Oregon State team, now 4-1. My Northwestern squad, I don't think they got off the bus against Nebraska, so I'm just going to smile and say, hey, take the bye week, figure it out, and come back with some more energy. But a full day of college football, just some fun results, some of those blue bloods having their big moments, and then in a big shining moment with an opportunity in the nation watching, Notre Dame falls at Cincinnati. See, it all circles back to Cincinnati. So it's all about you. But Notre Dame, just 13 points as Cincinnati, 24-13. And now people start wringing their hands going, all right, we're going to have to think about the Bearcats in the national playoff picture. And I know folks get a little nervous and pucker up a bit when those kind of things happen, TJ.
You know what? Cincinnati was a really good team last year. And I believe people thought it was a fluke. Oh, we didn't. Not many teams got to practice as much. It was a condensed season. Some teams played more games than others. Desmond Ridder looks like he's the real deal. Mm-hmm. Super athletic dude. They lose their defensive coordinator to Notre Dame. And they just put it on. I don't understand how a program like Notre Dame doesn't have court. Like Brian Kelly plays musical chairs with his quarterbacks more than any guy I've ever seen. He had Ian Book, but before that, like, he's take guys in, put this guy in, put this guy in, put your Notre Dame, find you a quarterback and roll with him.
Old adage, right? You got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And you're trying to mix and match and try, you know, now you're thinking about your offensive line, your wide receivers, different responsibilities and how they have to play depending on which quarterback is in. Trying to find a rhythm sometimes escapes you. And in this case, it certainly did for Notre Dame.
Luke Fickell has done a fantastic job. I know who the Cincinnati Bearcats are, but last year they kind of surprised a ton of people. When you lose your defensive coordinator and now you get to play them this year, I know those guys were fired up. And, yeah, it looks like Cincinnati, who's left on their schedule that can even pose a threat to them? The Cincinnati Bearcats will more than likely be in the college football playoff for sure.
It's pretty crazy to look at it, and we can do that as October just gets started. It's like, all right, just don't slip up and stay healthy. Stay in the bubble wrap and see what happens. Michigan with a big win as well. A huge win for Jim Harbaugh, who wins 9 games a year, yet everybody hates him. So,
will this be the year?
Will this be the year that they don't trip up?
Will this be the year that they can just compete with Ohio State? Will this be the year? Ohio State, they're always good, but this isn't a typical Ohio State type of year. Michigan looks like they have a pretty good formula going right now.
Opportunity.
They really do.
Opportunity does knock. You mentioned Luke Fickell. He's one of the guys that, obviously, you and I out here in Los Angeles, where we come from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And Luke Fickell's a guy that you're going to start seeing his profile showing up a bunch as they try to figure out the next steps at USC. Certainly one of those names that has been in the picture a little bit, TJ. If we can, let's rewind a little bit. Eking out a victory. I'm not quite sure where we're at. It's basically the win and, you know, succeed and proceed kind of mentality in the National Football League. Take your victory, try to figure out where some of the gaps were and roll. But a good first half for Jacksonville, absolutely dominant. And I was all for the call of trying to score a touchdown. You recognize who you are. You're 0-3. You're trying to get some momentum, and you've kicked this team around the field. Instead, you get Cincinnati with a big stop, and then we basically mirrored time of possession and yardage and all of the major stats in the second half as Burrow and company get it done. And you look at Joe Burrow, and he just seems unflappable. Not often do we see this in a second-year guy who missed a good chunk of his rookie season, comes off a big injury, and it doesn't look like any situation gets too big for him.
You know, we all can be Monday morning quarterback. Oh, why you didn't kick the field goal and go up three scores? You know, that type of thing. Because if he scores a touchdown, oh, it's a great call.
How about that, right? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the better thing is just give the ball to James Robinson. How about make a better call? And you know, the Bengals made great halftime adjustments or the Jags didn't make any. It's one or the other, because after halftime, the Bengals were a different team. First half, they come out, they're running the ball. They're doing okay. Second half, they went empty quite a bit, and the Jags didn't have an answer for it. Joe is just he plays with a confidence, man. He came out here in Southern California and did his pre-combine training out here with us. And the dude it's almost cockiness, really, to be honest with you. The dude is so confident in himself. And that was the first thing that I noticed when he was out here training. He has a confidence, man, that you rarely see in dudes. And it's almost borderline cocky, but I would prefer have it this way than have no confidence in yourself at all. I mean, can't zero me. You've seen the thing after when he that empty set, he checks to the quick screen to Uzuma, goes on a solid. They can't zero me. Who do they think I am? And he knew, you know, when you're mic'd up, he doesn't care. The Bengals keep him healthy. They got a chance to be special for a long time.
Well, that's the big thing. They were playing without T. Higgins. You look at Joe Mixon, another guy with some injuries in his history, but keep him healthy. And that offensive line, and you know, week by week, it's that evaluation, right? Are your front five getting the job done? And certainly early in the season, he was under siege. But, you know, they stopped a huge streak of the Steelers in week three. Steelers had 75 games with at least one sack. And no T.J. Watt, of course, but they get a clean pocket for Joe Burrow, and now you see a team that's kind of curious, right? A loss to the Bears. We'll get into the Bears. That's my hometown, TJ, so I've done a lot of rants.
I assume that when you said Northwestern, so yeah. I kind of assumed.
Yeah, Southside boy, stayed home for college, and, well, it's still there. Did a number of rants, almost as many rants on that as Buccaneers Patriots this week, TJ. So, but, you know, the job here is to kind of run through the game, give folks a couple of quick insights as we can, and, of course, we do some game picks to show exactly how hard it is to do that as you go through an entire schedule. We're not cherry picking two or three games. Nope. We're going to try to throw all sorts of darts at the board and see what we stick. So why don't we start with our first matchup? It's a big one.
Steelers at Packers.
All right, Packers a 6.5-point favorite. 45.5 is your total for this one. Packers coming off a huge win. The Steelers, we keep looking at that offense going, I don't know. A lot of tags in this one in terms of injuries. We're looking at getting guys healthy and trying to get back on, but there will be no Chase Claypool. for the Steelers. A little bit of work on the offensive line as Okorafor and Coward are both out. We've got the pectoral muscle, which will be a continued issue for Ben Roethlisberger. Both Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson expected to play. They were participants at practice, as was the aforementioned T.J. Watt. But we're watching Big Ben and what is a shell of the man we once knew, Najee Harris at this point. The run game, not quite expected behind that, what we expected behind a retooled offensive line. Whereas Green Bay, they don't have to offer much of a pass rush. Can we see at least a glimpse of the old Ben Roethlisberger for one day, or is it done?
I believe it's done. It's over. Stick a fork in them. I believe the Packers are going to win this game going away. 6.5 points. They'll win by double digits. I can see a score of 31-17. Maybe the Steelers score late to make it look like it was a little closer than what it was. The Packers slipped up week one. I mean, they didn't slip up. They absolutely got destroyed. And they've been doing very – that game-winning drive against the Niners, like, to make those throws that Aaron Rodgers made, unreal.
Well, especially it's because the number one guy. Like, that's the bigger thing. It's like, it's not like he found a second guy. Somehow he still found his guy twice, DJ, who had just been laid out before.
Yeah, that's another – laid out, literally missed one play. I was like, oh, he's done for the game. He laid – yeah, that was odd to me to say.
Yeah, you
the
watch
least.
A bunch of Marvel movies. That's a metahuman kind of thing going on there.
Yeah. Oh, he's done. Oh, he rises back up. That's what Davante Adams did. But yeah, I like the Packers big in this game. The Steelers. Everybody has one of these seasons, and I guess it's time for the Pittsburgh Steelers to have this type of season.
I was going to say, Mike Tomlin hasn't had one yet, right? Every time we think that the team's bad, they still get to 500. This one, it's a long slog, but I don't know, unless Dwayne Haskins suddenly has some magic in his arm once they eventually have to go to him.
Big Ben has been great for so long, very underrated in my opinion. Obviously, I saw him a lot, but it's exactly what you said. I can't see them benching Ben, but I can see them saying, hey, Ben, let's sit you down until you get healthy, see what they have in Dwayne Haskins to know if they need to draft a quarterback or not.
Yeah, it's just bad when you become a meme based on trying to flip the ball away and then you fall down like a tree. That coming into my timeline last week, I got a little bit sad because, you know, you don't like to see Father Time catch up with guys on the field because it means he caught up with you too.
It catches up to everybody except Tom Brady. So, Big Ben, it's happened to all of us. Brady has the juice. He was smart enough to...
Wait, you got to be careful about saying he got the juice.
Well, hey, he has the remedy, whatever you want to call it. But he was smart enough. Brady got ahead of this stuff early in his career. Alex Guerrero, I've known Alex Guerrero since I was a teenager. And he hired Alex early in his career. Alex is out here in SoCal working on us. And next thing you know, he moves up out of SoCal and he's in New England. I'm like, Alex, what's up, bro? Can I get some work?
Right.
And he's literally moved his family all the way to New England. So, yeah, Brady was smart. He got ahead of this early.
Yeah, we got to figure out how to get some ability to write some works of fiction on Tom Brady and make him like the next big superhero.
You know what it is? You just got to be willing to invest in yourself and hire people that can keep you healthy like Brady did. You know, us athletes are super cheap when it comes to keeping your body healthy, but Brady invested in himself, and it's paid off handsomely for him.
Certainly paying dividends. I've got my recovery sleepwear on order. Still haven't gotten it back, DJ. I'm going to try to steal everything I can from what we know of his playbook as I get a little longer in the tooth here. But the voice still sounds nice and strong here on Fox Sports Radio. We're just getting warmed up. It's Fox Football Sunday. The voice you hear opposite mine, TJ Houshmandzadeh, years in the National Football League, and of course, part of the Up on Game crew here on Saturdays, Fox Sports Radio, alongside Plaxico Burress and my guy LeVar Arrington, who you heard here on Sundays for a long while, the two of us yelling at each other. He and TJ get after it with Plax on Saturdays here on Fox Sports Radio. Find the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. We will continue to shill for that show and all of your other works, TJ, as the morning goes on. Find me over at Swollen Dome. You got fantasy football lineup questions. We'll throw darts at those too as the morning develops here as we count down to kickoff for week 4 of the National Football League. Coming up next, an undefeated team. Will they stay so? Big test on tap at Mile High next on Fox. Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio. It's Fox Football Sunday, getting you revved up for week 4 of the National Football League. Mike Harmon alongside TJ Houshmandzadeh. You hear him with the Up On Game crew. Also, you've got the About the Game podcast at Hoosh84 on Twitter, but the About the Game podcast, latest episode, Doug Ellen. So TJ trying to become a mogul and get himself a TV show too.
We'll see how that works, huh?
All right, you guys got from 12 years in the NFL and your list of contacts, I think you guys could resurrect. Remember Playmakers all those years ago? It was controversial.
Yeah, I wouldn't spill all those secrets,
well,
though.
No, there's some not things. All of those things.
Man, Mike, there's so many things that go on that nobody has any idea, especially in Cincinnati when I believe we kind of started, and I say we because I was on the team, but not we, meaning me, started the going to see Roger Goodell, getting suspended, and things that personal conduct policy that now we all know it's normal, but back then it was like...
No, you guys became the poster boys of all that, that's for sure.
There was so much more that never got out. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's what you call a tease in the radio business right there.
Yeah, it will stay a tease, too. It will always be a tease.
The fact that nobody's talked at this point, 15 years later, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you would have to be privy to what was going on to understand that, oh, this never got out to the public. Oh, this didn't get out to the public either. It was a lot. I'm sure some learned from, others didn't. But, yeah, I might tell stories here and there, but I'll never bring up names if it's that bad. I won't do that at all.
Well, you got to leave the names out to protect the innocent and the guilty. Because a lot of people raise their hand going, wait a minute, what happened?
You know what happens is guys that were on the team, they'd be like, oh, I forgot about that. I know exactly who he's talking about.
You know? Yeah, no, that's true. All right, so we'll stop teasing that. But certainly you had Mike Vick on, some great guests to get things started, guys with a lot of stories to tell and certainly drawing it
it's,
out of
it's,
them.
So it's been cool. Fun, Mike. I like doing it. We had Carson on. He'll be the next episode. Clinton Portis. We'll have T.O., and we just try to do a little different than interviews that they've done or podcasts that they've done. We don't touch on the same things.
No, that's a good way to go. For Clinton and for T.O., I mean, there's a lot of stories to be told. It's just a matter of where you want to take them. And Clinton's a character. So that'll be – I can't wait to hear that one. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it was pretty good. He's a good dude, man. You know, everybody does things you shouldn't do. It happens. And hopefully you make those mistakes early in your life when you're younger. But, you know, we do make mistakes later on in life, and it kind of is what it is. But, yeah, I really enjoy it. When I was playing, the beat writers in Cincinnati, they were the ones to tell me, when you're done playing, you need to get involved in the media. And so Jeff Hobson, Mark Canute, they were two that I just remember their names because they were the two that told me that. And appreciate y'all.
Yeah, not to go on the full, butt-kissing tour, but I used to do training camp tours back in the day and always would stop by you guys and they'd ask, who you want to talk to? And it was always you and Chad. And they'd get mad at me, you know, like in a lot of these places, like, you don't want to talk to the quarterbacks? Like, they're going to give me coach speak. And Carson was a little more blunt than most, but, you know, given a choice, it was, all right, let's find you guys because you actually had something to say. So it was, you know, part of our tours. I was always enjoying coming out there and seeing you guys go to work.
Probably a little too unfiltered, huh? That's probably why.
Well, but you were honest. If the practice was bad, you guys would talk about it. Or something went haywire in a drill. And it's just, you know, the quarterback's normally buttoned up. It's like, you know, the statesman. Might as well have had, you know, Hail to the Chief playing in the background because you were going to get basically whatever the message was for the squad. You guys? Nope. And sometimes it would be, hey, please don't print that. Just here's some background. So, you know, you guys were always very good to me back in the day when my youthful stepping around the country before I settled out here in Southern California and hung out with all the beautiful people, you know?
There you go. I just believe, especially when you're an athlete and then when you get into the media like yourself and I've done, is I always say how I feel. I'm not going to try to be politically correct and, oh, should I say this? If I feel it, I'm going to say it. Maybe I shouldn't, but that's just who I am. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to say exactly how I feel. And if some like it, fine. If others don't, that's okay as well.
That's the bottom line. I'll take your love or your derision. Either way, we hope to spark some sort of something in your brain, getting you fired up this morning as we get into week four of the National Football League. And we've got a doozy out in Denver.
Ravens and Broncos.
All right, this one, the last I saw, a narrow one-point edge for Denver, 44, you're over-under. A lot of folks questioning, TJ, just the way the schedule's worked out for Denver thus far. You've had not exactly the heavyweights, you would call them, on your schedule, and the Giants, Jaguars, and the New York Football Jets, but as you know, playing in the league, you take your W and you move on. You take the good, and you know there's always room for cleaning some stuff up. Now you got the Ravens coming in. They're banged up. Ronnie Stanley, Derek Wolf are out. And then you also look at Lamar Jackson expected to play, but the hip missed a good chunk of the practice week before getting back after it. And it looks like they've cleaned up in most a very long injury list, but the rest coming back, but they don't have their wide receivers just yet. Bateman and Boykin just finally getting back into the, all right, you got 21 days to activate them phase. So not a lot downfield for Lamar Jackson, but thus far, we know he can make plays himself and will. Run game has been sporadic. You got the win last week because you got Super Toe, Justin Tucker, making it happen. That win over KC, one of the best we've seen. A difficult overtime loss in week one to Las Vegas. But all that, 2-1, I don't know what this team's ceiling is, but you got a big test here on the road against Von Miller and that Denver defense with Vic Fangio.
This game is tough because regardless of what you say about Denver, Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive coaches in the league. They're going to play defense in Denver. And it's hard to look at Denver and say, they're ranked here against the run. They haven't played a team nowhere near the Baltimore Ravens offensively. And so when you talk about early schedule, yeah, the early schedule for the Broncos have been good to them. But it's also good for them mentally because with them being undefeated right now, they feel like we're going to show everybody how good we are. I just don't believe it's going to be today.
No Judy, no Hamler, Bradley Chubb out for the defense. So you're looking for Lamar Jackson one more play to get a win there. Is it a Justin Tucker field goal? Can he break his own record a week later going to Mile High?
Well, if there's any city and field you want to trot on, it would always be Denver with the low altitude, the thin air. They'll probably give him a chance if the opportunity presents itself. I just believe the Ravens will win the game. And I do expect a hard-fought game just because Denver, they're playing with a ton of confidence. Teddy Bridgewater has been fantastic for them. But they haven't played a team like Baltimore yet. And so until they show me that they can compete with, quote-unquote, the big boys, I'm going with the Ravens. Harbaugh is, when people bring up best head coaches in the league, they'll say, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Oh, and also Harbaugh. And it should be the other way around. He's one of the best coaches in the league, and he never gets the credit he deserves. And so, yeah, I'm rolling with the Ravens.
Yeah, I think I'll ride with you on this one. I do like the Denver squad, just the composition, as you said, with Vic Fangio, one of the best defensive minds you've got going. So perhaps can get a key on Lamar Jackson to slow things down. But Teddy Bridgewater, one of the great stories of this early season, taking advantage of the opportunity afforded him there in Denver. And as you say, they're not battle tested at this point. So this is a big step up in class, as it were, if we equate it to the boxing ring. Good luck with that. But it's one of the matchups that I love. See, I've talked more about these matchups as I could, TJ, during the week than New England and Tampa. I figured everybody else had that one covered more in the emotional side than I did. But we'll deal with that one in about a half hour from now. But first, we're going to step over to Isaac Lowenkron before we get to a big game in Big D. What's going on, Ilo?
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, TJ. We start in the NFL, where Ian Rappaport reported this morning that new Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Richard Sherman...
Don't you ever talk about me!
I have to. It's my job. is expected to start tonight at New England.
Wow.
In Major League Baseball on Saturday night, Mitch Haniger of the Seattle Mariners had five RBI, including his 39th home run of the season in a 6-4 victory over the Angels. So, going into the final day of the regular season, the Yankees and Red Sox hold the American League wildcard spots at 91 and 70. The Mariners and Blue Jays are both one game back at 90 and 71. Elsewhere on Saturday night, the San Diego Padres won at San Francisco in 10 innings, 3-2, so the Giants failed to clinch the NL West. Their magic number is 1. The Dodgers stayed alive in the NL West race with an 8-3 victory over the Milwaukee Brewers. Julio Urias becoming the first 20-game winner in the majors this year. College football Saturday night, Will Rogers threw for 408 with 3 touchdown passes as Mississippi State won at 15th-ranked Texas A&M 26-22. Hawaii knocked off 18th-ranked Fresno State 27-24. Arizona State defeated number 20 UCLA at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena 42-23. Number 22 Auburn winning at LSU 24-19. Also Saturday, 4th-ranked Penn State blanked Indiana 24-0. Mike and TJ.
That's a hell of a comeback for Will Rogers, who, according to the Wikipedia, has been gone since 1935.
Reincarnated. Yeah. He made a comeback.
Hey, that's the ultimate comeback player of the year award. And I guess a pretty big indictment of the Texas A&M defense.
Stage film actor, vaudeville. As soon as vaudeville comes into the play, we got a whole other world.
He has a park named after him like 15 miles from here over in like Pacific Palisades, right?
Yeah. Why don't we all go for a nice hike later on today?
Just never mind.
I don't even know what you wanted to do there, Ilo. We're going to cut your microphone and get back to work. Mike Harmon, TJ Houshmandzadeh here with you. Week 4 of the National Football League, Fox Football Sunday. We got Chris and Nick making a sound oh so pretty this morning. Check out all of Chris's work. Detroit Lions, the pride of Detroit, at Chris Perfett for the latest links there. And with that, let's get back into the games.
Panthers and Cowboys.
All right, another team that we're trying to figure out, TJ, who they are. Your Carolina Panthers. Thus far, you've got a defense that's swarming. Matt Rhule getting it done. But again, Jets, they humbled the Saints for that 1 week. And then, well, they beat up on the Texans and Davis Mills in a Thursday night affair. 4.5 is the number here. Carolina getting 4.5 on the road at Dallas. 51.5 the total. And we look at Sam Darnold missing Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, that's huge. And Gross Matos, the defensive end out of Penn State, doubtful for this one as well. You're looking for the Cowboys. Randy Gregory, limited participation in Friday, but looks like he's still going to go. And Amari Cooper was taken off the injury report. So Dak Prescott with his full complement. Really, it comes down to this. Carolina taking advantage of the early schedule, just like Denver, TJ. Can they match points with Dak and that offense? Is that defense good enough and for real enough to slow down Dallas?
Man, that defense has been very, very good for the Panthers. Almost too good. But they haven't played 18. You say they haven't played. They played Sean Payton and the Saints. But Sean Payton is...
Well, that was when he had 10 coaches that were in COVID protocol.
They had the players being coaches.
Pretty much, yeah.
The players were coaches. And so the way Dak Prescott is playing, it's almost... anytime he drops back, he's going to make the right decision. And he's giving his receivers and tight ends opportunities to make plays. Like, Dak Prescott is playing so well right now. It's almost hard to go against the Cowboys. One thing is for certain. If that defense does his part, the Cowboys are going to win because Dak Prescott is going to put up points. Dak Prescott, to me now, is when you speak of best quarterbacks, you have to mention his name. Like, he's going to move the ball. He's going to put his team in position to win. Those receivers, like, man, I'm glad we have Dak as our quarterback. I like the Cowboys. They're giving up 4.5. I'm somewhat concerned just because when you play the way the Panthers have played, like I said about the Broncos, you just have a lot of confidence, man. I'm a big fan of Sam Darnold. I always thought he got a raw deal in New York. But this Cowboys defense, they're pretty much healthy outside DeMarcus Lawrence. He broke his foot. Quinn has done a hell of a job, man. He's come in and changed them around. Micah Parsons is showing you he can play linebacker. I can play DN. I'm just a football player. Diggs, they got a really good
ridiculous
corner in Trayvon Diggs. Yes.
Yeah.
And the best thing about Diggs is he's a former receiver, so his ball skills are off the chart. Off the chart, former receiver. I'm going with the Cowboys. I like Dak Prescott. I like what they're doing. The Panthers got to show me more.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers with the points. I'm going to take the 4.5. I think Dallas wins the game. You know, going back to Dak really quick, just coming into the year, TJ, between the ankle and whatever was going on with his shoulder in the preseason, it was all right, I want to see it. And then you just watch him play, and it just looks like the game is going at a snail's pace, kind of like the Keanu Reeves dodging bullets in the Matrix kind of thing going on for him right now. You add Dalton Schultz to the mix, a revived Ezekiel Elliott after hearing all the criticism coming out of week two. Folks forget that blocking is part of being a complete running back, so he's getting paid to do that too. So having some fun. On the defensive side, I'm sure LeVar has sent you every clip of Micah Parsons every play, so I know you're well aware of where
he is. That is the truth. Anybody that knows LeVar, if you go to Penn State, you get unconditional love from LeVar Arrington. That's for certain.
Proud papa there in terms of skill development and everything, but he's just been fantastic, especially when he's even as a down lineman up front and rushing the passer, he's been ridiculous. But for Sam Darnold, yeah, just don't go to the Jets. That seems to be the overriding theme. Try to force that trade like you do, like Eli and Elway did all those years ago, if it is possible. All right, let's get one more in.
Seahawks and 49ers.
All right, Seattle Seahawks haven't been able to stop anybody. 49ers with that heartbreaking loss to Green Bay last week. San Francisco a narrow 2.5-point favorite in this one. TJ, 52 is your over-under. Rashad Penny, surprise, injured again. Tyler Lockett, hip injury, but expected to play for the 49ers. Elijah Mitchell, remember when everybody spent their free agent acquisition budget and fantasy on him? I do, because I did it. He's gone with a shoulder injury, so next man up there. George Kittle going to be available, as will Kinlaw on the defensive line. You know, San Francisco, as we talked about earlier, TJ, a lot of the Monday morning quarterbacking off of that game as well. You left Aaron Rodgers too much time. It's like you're trying to score a touchdown. Okay, this isn't I'm setting up Robbie Gould to kick a field goal. You're trying to score a touchdown. If you leave 37 seconds, you've got to think your defense is good enough to give you the stop, even if Aaron Rodgers or, you know, insert your other quarterback deity is on the other side. That said, with Seattle, the defense has just been so poor as Pete Carroll's going, yeah, we're going to switch some things up. And just he looks like he's grasping at straws.
Man, the 49ers, they play, at least they tried to play complimentary football. It just didn't work out.
Yep.
But you're going against one of the best in Aaron Rodgers. This game should be just what they needed. The Seahawks, they're supposed to be a defensive team with Pete Carroll as their head coach. You go early in the season, they're playing at home against the Tennessee Titans. They big lead, they give it up. Defensively, they gave it up. And same thing last week against the Minnesota Vikings. They need to figure out that defense. You got the corners. Oh, this scheme, it doesn't fit us. You know, some of the things we're doing isn't right, but we'll figure it out. When you start losing, fingers start to get pointed. Both teams coming off a loss. But I believe the 49ers being competitive and should have won that game against the Packers. Division game, though, when you play division opponents, I don't believe Russell Wilson has never lost three games in a row in his career,
right,
if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And so As they say, it's the first time for everything, so Russ, get ready for three in a row.
Boom. I'm right there with you. San Francisco, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. He wins games. He's not a sexy quarterback, right? And everybody looking just like in Chicago. It's like, all right, when are we going to see the kid? It's like, if he's not ready, he's not ready. And you're also 2-1 and should have won another game. So I think it's the calm down. They just need to figure out what's going on in that training room, because we got several years in a row now, TJ, where it's just one man after the next going down with injuries, and that's just a bad luck. I think they go get the sagebrush from Kyrie Irving and maybe try to sweep some of that bad mojo out.
Nah.
Well, he doesn't need it right now. He's going to miss a bunch of practice time.
Kyrie, he gonna figure this out. He can't be that crazy.
He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Still so many games to preview. And coming up next, those saying they're the best team in the NFL. Well, they've got a test with a big offensive opponent coming to town, and we'll talk about it next here on Fox. Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside TJ Houshmandzadeh having some fun with you, going through all the slate of week four of this National Football League season. There are some gems on the schedule. Of course, we still have to celebrate them all, 272 throughout the regular season, which means there are going to be some that, well, we'll touch on, TJ, that don't necessarily get the deep dive that the others do, and I think our next game would qualify as one of those.
Colts at Dolphins.
Yeah, it's one of those games. We look at the Indianapolis Colts struggling, would be the nice way to say it. Miami, a 2-point favorite, 43 the total. They got the bad news. Quentin Nelson, all sorts of injuries going on, ankle and knee, injured reserve at least 3 weeks. Quiddy Pay out with the hamstring for the defensive side of things. Jack Doyle with the back injury, limited. Taylor, limited. Wentz, sprained both his ankles, still limited in practice. They've got a laundry list of guys banged up for the Colts. Obviously, Jacoby Brissett and company gamely fought the Raiders a week ago, but fall by 3. I don't know that there's a lot of analyzing here, except that the Colts are in trouble.
You know what's crazy is the Colts are 0-3, could possibly be 0-4. You go 0-4. Chances you're going to make it a playoffs are slim and none, but 17 games, it's one more game. Like that's such a huge difference. But if you go back to early in the season, they played the Los Angeles Rams, who we all think are a very good football team, played them very close. It was a really tight game. But I'm picking the Dolphins to win that after saying all of this. The Dolphins are going to compete. I believe the Colts are banged up. Carson Wentz is playing. I don't believe he's 100%. He just can't seem to stay healthy. The Colts are going to make this competitive. It will be a tight game. But I just see the Dolphins just somehow pulling this out and sending the Colts to 0-4. I really do.
Yeah, brutal times. And Brissett, look at Myles Gaskin and those receivers on the outside. I think there's just too much. Add Gesicki, not trying to get all the Penn State love. You didn't go there, so there's no favors to be had there. But for Indianapolis, I was never a Carson Wentz believer, even before the season, when it was, look what they're going to do. It's like, no. This is the guy that if we're to believe half of the reports that came out last year, kind of quit as soon as Jalen Hurts started getting some run there in Philly. Give me Miami laying the short 2, and now we get to one of the games of the week.
Cardinals and Rams.
Now we're talking about it. He started the week as a 6-point favorite, now down to 4, 54.5 your total. The Rams and Matthew Stafford, high octane. I was there when they opened SoFi with the Bears, but for a couple of big plays and guys looking confused in the Bears secondary. Look, they've become a whole other horror show, as we'll chronicle next hour. But we're looking at this. Not a lot of injuries that are truly affecting this one, at least on paper. We'll see guys that they were all there at practices. So in theory, we have a full battle of Kyler Murray in that offense, TJ, with two guys in the backfield getting it done in Connor and Edmonds. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore, A.J. Green, who's found a little bit of the fountain of youth, becoming more active in the passing game as well? And then on the defensive front, can you get to Matthew Stafford? He's been a member of the Clean Jersey Club so thus far in 2021.
This game will be a which defense plays the best. Both offensive. You just named all the guys the Cardinals have skill-wise. Fantastic. The Rams are just as good, minus probably the running backs. Stafford was my preseason MVP pick. He's making me look pretty good right now. This game will come down to defensively who can slow down, not who can stop, who can slow down an opposing offense. My bet is with the Rams. My money is on the Rams because they've shown me in years past they've been able to do it. Chandler Jones has 5 sacks first game of the season. How many has he had since? None. I'm going with the LA Rams.
Rams offensive line done a great job thus far, and Stafford plenty of time. Cooper Kupp all of a sudden on that MVP discussion just because we have to add some wide receivers to make things interesting, TJ. We know that. But I'm looking at Arizona just because I need an upset somewhere on this schedule. Been playing pretty straight up thus far. So looking for Kyler Murray to come up with one play, and the fact that you have Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel not giving you much out of the run game, I think that's going to come back to bite him here in a high-scoring affair. Definitely taking the 4. But if Stafford rolls up, then, yeah, your MVP train continues with a big battle at SoFi. Looking pretty good so far.
I got to say, if the Rams had any draft picks left, they can go trade for Marlon Mack. But
how about that? No, that's just it. That guy's in purgatory right now, and a back if he's healthy. I was saying that Kansas City should go trade for him right now.
The way Edwards-Helaire has played, but they invested a first-round pick. They won't give up on him that fast.
No, that's true. All right, we got Washington-Atlanta coming up next here on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it goes so fast. Thanks for hanging out with us, being part of the extended family here on Fox Sports Radio. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we do appreciate you. Evangelize, tell your friends, whether you like what I'm saying, you hate the sound of my voice, whatever it is, just tell folks that they need to hear the next hour of the program. Well, and all day here, of course, every day on Fox Sports Radio. Mike Harmon alongside TJ Houshmandzadeh. We're having some fun with you going through the slate of week 4. Don't worry, we have one more appetizer before the main course will be served here as I start to see all the pregame festivities kicking off, TJ, and everybody going back and wearing colonial garb. What do you think?
Man, it's a sight to see. It wouldn't be me. I'll say that.
No, you're not on board with that one?
No, not at all.
Not going into the reenactment plays. I've been watching American Housewife again. Diedrich Bader, the character, he loves doing all of that kind of fun. I don't know that that's me either. I think I might figure out something else start walking around dressed like Joe Perry or Steven Tyler of Aerosmith more likely than the, you know, colonial getup because, chaos ensues.
Man, you know what, though? In my household, this is really crazy. I really don't watch anything but sports.
Is that right?
Yeah, no lie, man. I watch really nothing but sports. Every baseball, football, basketball, boxing. If sports aren't on, my wife might be watching a show. She'll force me to watch a show with her. But I'll just go to another room and find something that's athletic related.
Start getting that second screen viewing. Hey, what is that? That's week 5 of 2014. It's like, I'd rather watch this. Now we got live on the pitch. We've got some soccer going already this morning, TJ. So you can find that in replays of all of the baseball games because we got an exciting final day of the regular season to come, as we heard in Ilo's update. So, you know, some live sporting already.
COVID forced me to watch other things. I was like, oh, my God. When COVID hit, it was like, what am I going to watch?
Did you find something you actually like, though?
I started watching stuff on Netflix. I binged watched El Chapo. We got that and like went through every season. We started watching Snowfall and Power, things that I had never really watched before. Yeah, so Netflix came in handy for us.
Okay, well, that's just it. We all found our creature comforts. I started going back through all the shows I never watched when they were on in first run and started really watching more of the stuff my kids were, and I'm really confused at some of the programming that goes for teenagers, but I suppose they could look back at what we watched or I watched as a kid and say, well, what is this? So, you know, it's one of those kind of things. They try to relate as best I can, but every once in a while I'll use a turn of phrase and my kids will literally throw things at me. Or like my younger daughter will kick a soccer ball at me.
Oh, yeah. I have four kids, two in college and two at home, two young ones. So I'm for sure used to that. It's nothing like it, though, man. When the kids turn something on, you just kind of start watching it with them.
Yeah.
But this is the best time of the year, man. You get the playoffs for baseball, college football, the NFL, basketball is about to start. This is the best time of the year.
Think about it. Just a year ago, we were finishing in the bubble. We've already had another full NBA season, and now we're getting ready for another. Just absolutely crazy. As the world turns. See, there's an old soap opera reference to show my age back in the day.
I remember that one, too.
Well, it also was used in Mary J.'s No More Drama. So, you know, we gotta have that as well. So how about we get back into the games? We'll do the appetizer before we get to the main course, because there's an extra wrinkle to this Patriots and Buccaneers game that's now been added that, you know, as a guy that played in the league, as you did, TJ, I think your perspective on this one will be appreciated more so than the brilliance you've also already given us. Let's go.
Washington at Falcons.
Yeah, when we look at the injury report on this one, the big one is Antonio Gibson of your Washington football team. We've got the 1.5-point favorite on the road at Atlanta. Matt Ryan and company trying to find some semblance of consistency. Jared Patterson probably going to see more action for Washington and an awful lot of dump-offs to J.D. McKissic for Atlanta. Matt Ryan, you know, one of those guys that just continues to go and he's not, he's kind of a middle of the pack guy at this point, TJ, and they really haven't figured out how to best utilize, at least to this point, Kyle Pitts, the, you know, wunderkind coming in, and Calvin Ridley still seems to be some disconnect in that passing attack.
New offensive system with Arthur Smith coming over from Tennessee. The Falcons, you know, with Matt Ryan, if you go back, Matt Ryan has always had really good skill guys.
Sure.
You start with Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones and Roddy White. Roddy White leaves. They bring in Ridley, Muhammad Sanu. He's all Devontae Freeman. He's had really good players. You have Kyle Pitts now. They just can't seem to figure it out. And the Washington football team defensively, considering expectations, have been a disappointment. This is what they need. They need this Falcons team to come in here and defensively put the clamps on them. I believe that's what they will do and start to get on the roll somewhat. Playoff team last year, win a playoff game. Oh, no, we thought we were going to win a playoff game, but they played well. I like the Washington football team. It's just something in Atlanta where they have these skilled players. Defensively, they can't figure it out. They've been bad defensively for a long time.
That's true.
Washington football team will win this game.
Taylor Heinicke, one more play. I'm with you on this one. Washington gets the W for fantasy purposes. Maybe into your WR3 as he gets activated. Curtis Samuel adding to the weapons alongside scary Terry McLaurin for your Washington football team. All right, let's get to the meat.
Bucks and Patriots.
Buccaneers given 7 on the road at New England. 49 is the total. So much in the pageantry leading up to this one, TJ. Gronkowski out, unfortunately. A guy who might have celebrated this matchup more than, well, pretty much anybody else. I think he would have enjoyed the spotlight, even if it wasn't about him. But he's out with the rib injury. We did not travel. One that I know is a big one that kind of goes under the radar. Jason Pierre-Paul not going with the shoulder injury once again. You've got Carlton Davis. Did practice in full on Friday. They've got a banged-up secondary, which leads to the big story that I think is just huge, that off the street, Richard Sherman signs and now will start.
That is odd, to say the least. It very rarely happens. He's experienced, one of the best of his generation. He'll be fine. It's just a matter of hopefully he's been working really hard, because once you get in that game, you start running and playing harder than you've ever done in your training. Different story. Gronkowski, I know for him to miss this game, he has to be hurt pretty bad. But right. I will say this. If he has cracked ribs or whatever, I had that every year, man. Mike, no lie. I would get shot 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year, needle like a foot long, and they stick it in you. You literally feel it hitting your bones and rib cage, like no lie. I would get shot so many times in my ribs when I was playing. I'm surprised Gronk isn't doing that just to play in New England. He probably won't get this opportunity again. But Brady and those, but people haven't really brought up Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he's back as well.
He was unceremoniously let go in New England. He's going to have somewhat of a point to prove. Man, the Bucs are going to beat him by ass kicking, man. I really believe they're going to kill the Patriots. But Bill will try to slow the game down, run the ball, drop plenty in coverage. Let's make Tampa Bay run the ball because they don't seem to want to and they can't run it. But yeah, when it's all said and done, Brady will walk away with the victory.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry comes back, the much maligned former first-round pick. James White, who you had as a steady, reliable target all these years, he's out after a hip injury. He's done for the year, so you lose that. Damian Harris, his fumble going back against the Dolphins, would have had a field goal try. We know kickers are never a sure thing unless named Tucker, but certainly would have had at least an opportunity there. But we look at this Buccaneers squad, the injuries in the secondary, but as you say, Antonio Brown comes back. I like that they tried to get him in on the graphics because he wasn't there long, but it's like, all right, he's still a former Patriot, so let's get him in as Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, obviously the storied history with Bill Belichick. Everybody looking for stories. This is going to be like the 85 Bears and the 86 Mets, I think, TJ, where forever there's going to be someone who's got another anonymous story to tell about the time here between these two and those final 18 months. To me, it's a, all right, it's a cool story, but the teams aren't even, right? It's not like, hey, the Patriots are a solid squad that should give them a test here. The Buccaneers are just so much better at every facet.
And the thing is this, though. The Patriots, rookie quarterback, they'll come out and try to run the ball. Oh, that's very hard to do against the Bucs. Oh, the Bucs play man-to-man. The Patriots want to dink and dunk. It's going to be very interesting how Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick navigate through this with Mac Jones. They're not going to be able to run the ball because the Bucs do not allow that. And they're going to man you up. And when you like to throw short routes, and they know that, it's going to be really interesting that chess match with Todd Bowles and Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, it's a 7-point is, I don't think, big enough for this one, TJ. New England, we're both on board that. Hey, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And it's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes, based on a 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations do apply. But, I mean, you were in the locker rooms for over a decade, right? And then add college, add high school. I mean, playing football, you know, a lot of your life. You know, do you care about stuff? I mean, because we talked about in the first hour, right? The stories that stay buried and you know, all of those things. Do you like when you see stuff like this creep out? How much of it do you give credence to versus, all right, if no one's going to put their name on it, I just shrug my shoulders?
It really depends on who's it about. How, like, if it's about a guy that never really has been in the headlines, it just doesn't sound too true, then it's kind of just whatever, water off a duck's back. You don't know what to believe and what not to believe. But if it's a guy that you can imagine it being him, obviously it holds a little water. And so it kind of just depends on the situation.
Yeah, with these guys, I just figured they were both, all right, we move on, right? 20 years professional. Like any job, relationship, I'm not saying there wasn't some acrimony, but to try to blow it up to a whole other level.
Honestly, man, Bill is just who he is. And after a while, Tom was just like, man, I'm fed up. It's like being in a marriage. Like, dude, you're not going to keep treating me like this. Oh, you are going to keep treating me like this. Okay, I'm going to leave you. No, you're not going to leave. Okay, I'm gone. And I think it probably shocked Bill that Brady was willing to leave. But Bill wasn't going to change in his ways and how he treated people and how he – just how he does business.
Well, see, that was my point in all of it. It's like you watched it for 20 years. So to suddenly think, you know, he's treated guys that were all pros, and obviously Brady's a different animal in that regard with the seven, you know, Super Bowls and everything else and all the success you had together. But you also know that Father Time's undefeated, and he's always been 1 year early instead of too late.
And well, he was wrong on this one.
No, sure.
He did it with Lawyer Malloy. He did it with Richard Seymour. I mean, he's done it with numerous guys. But the thing is, we've never really seen a quarterback leave like this and then go win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
And then now your former team is trying to – like when Joe Montana left, they had Steve Young. You just don't see it. Brett Favre left. They had Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady left and they had exactly. And that's the problem. And you go and win the Super Bowl, and everybody, who gets the most credit, Belichick or Brady? To me, I've never seen Belichick throw a touchdown, catch a touchdown, make a tackle. It is what it is, but I just feel like Bill, you know, he's older now. He's been coaching for a long time. He's not changing at all. Either you're going to change or you're going to get put up out of there.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned those, you know, kind of the old school way of doing things, right? Drafting the replacement. It's like Aaron Rodgers when everybody got all up in arms when Jordan Love got drafted. Rodgers had two great efficient years, but not otherworldly. And Father Time and just most times 37, 38-year-old quarterbacks, that's pretty much the end of the line, right? So why would you not go to that formula that worked with you all those years ago? And especially the last time Rodgers got hurt, they had to go to Brent Hundley, and what looked like a promising season went to hell. So why would you not protect yourself? Like, and we've seen a number of teams go the other way now, right? Patriots didn't have their guy. They did shortly for Jimmy Garoppolo, but then sent him away. Pittsburgh has never drafted someone for for Ben Roethlisberger. For the Chargers, they never had anybody behind Phillip Rivers.
I mean,
right? Different philosophy.
The Steelers tried. They didn't spend high draft picks, but they Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph. They would bring in guys to see if okay, if we can, they can sit 3 or 4 years. Let's see if they could be the potential heir apparent to Big Ben. That just wasn't the case. Bill wanted Tom gone a few years ago. He wanted to move on with Garoppolo. He was just overruled with that. And Brady kept winning. I mean, this story for me, man, is great because they get rid of you and you go win a Super Bowl. And then the team that you just left were awful. Man, it's nothing like it.
Yep, they had their 7-9 last year, and then Cam ended it, Mac Jones, and now you've got the rookie with all the comparisons to Brady because of his style and his body type and everything else. He doesn't have quite the same concave chest that Tom did entering the league, or at least I don't remember seeing a bunch of those photos side by side. He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Sports Sunday here, Fox Football Sunday on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, we'll get back into the games with one of the powerhouses in that AFC East. And yeah, eventually I got to talk about the Bears. Stay with us. It's Fox. Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio, Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside TJ Houshmandzadeh going through the games of Week 4. All sorts of news and notes. Nick Battaglia, our executive producer, the note passed, and you've seen this stat a bunch, 68 passing yards for Tom Brady to pass Drew Brees on the all-time passing yardage list. We'll see if he gets a cool certificate like it's a $5 gift card, you know, to the local diner. You know, that you get for perfect attendance, TJ? One of those kind of deals, or will they just announce it? He waves to the crowd, and, well, they fire up the play clock again.
That's going to be interesting. Played there 20 years. He's going to break the record, obviously, very early in the game. They'll acknowledge it, but he's a visitor.
That's it, right?
he's a visitor. They might put it up on the screen. Congratulations, blah, blah, blah. You're not stopping the game for that. If he was a Patriot, okay, they would celebrate it. But this dude is a visitor.
Yeah, throw the ball out of play. Send it off to Canton.
Yeah, but if I'm on the Patriots and they try to celebrate, I'm pissed off. They better not do that.
No, exactly. Well, the next play would be very telling of how they would feel about that, right? Record for Super Bowl winning quarterbacks playing on the road against the team they won a ring with, 6-7. So there's an interesting little tidbit.
Well, 500 in a few hours.
Yeah, no. way to just dial it down to its brass tacks. You find TJ weekly here on Fox Sports Radio. Up on game is 9 to 11 Pacific time here on Fox Sports Radio Saturday mornings. And of course, the About the Game podcast as well. Find those iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you download your audio. Please evangelize, tell your family, friends, and of course, my ranting alongside Jason Smith nightly here on Fox Sports Radio, 7 to 11 Pacific time. You can grab all of that audio. Again, evangelize. It's a gift you can give for free, and you can check the box, and it's no money out of your pocket. Isn't that the best? And it's 4 hours of me and 2 hours of TJ on the weekend and all of that. Go and grab it, as you will, for all your football and just sports in general. We cover it all because that's what TJ watches. He is like the watcher in the the What If series of Marvel. See, I had to nerd out for the few folks that need that one, TJ.
Yeah, man, I don't know why I'm the way that I am, but
Hey, don't apologize. That's who you are. There's no problems there, because that means then I can lean on you for information in other sports as well, which is always a good thing. But let's get back to the game, and we got one that I think we'll give it a minute.
My name is
Texans at Bills.
Bills 16.5 or 17, depending on when you got in, 48 or over under. David Culley, he's navigating as best he can. Obviously, the Deshaun Watson situation looms large over everything. Tyrod Taylor, the most hard luck player. You were talking about taking the needles earlier in the show, right, with Rob Gronkowski. Tyrod did, and, well, it cost him a job because Anthony Lynn was going to be loyal to him with the Chargers a year ago, and then we got Justin Herbert, and away you go. Danny Amendola, yeah, there's a blast from the past. He's out with a thigh injury. The rest of the Texans look like we're healthy for the most part. For the Bills, Jordan Poyer out in the secondary with an ankle injury. Otherwise, we're looking like we're ready to go. Zach Moss starting to get going as the running back for Buffalo. But Josh Allen shook off maybe some early issues and some of those accuracy questions to get after it. Can Lovie Smith slow him down?
Lovie, oh, man.
Another guy, great coordinator. Right, when we get into longevity as head guys, whatever, there's debates of all of that. But Lovie, one of the best coordinators out there for sure.
Lovie Smith is a really good defensive coordinator. But you can be a really good defensive coordinator, and if you don't have the guys or the players to do what you need to do, does it really matter how good of a coordinator?
Well, then plus 16.5. DJ.
This is the National Football League. When I saw that, I'm like, wow, like the Bills are really good. Really good, but 16.5
that's
points.
That's a lot of points.
This is the National Football League.
Yeah, I'm still going to lay it. The Bills are at home.
The Bills are going to win the game, and they're going to win the game pretty easily. I'll just be honest. But damn, 16.5 points. I'm just going to take the points just because they do get paid on the other sideline as well.
This is absolutely true. Hey, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And it's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes based on the 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations do apply. Let's get one more game in before we go to ILO.
My name is Tyson.
Brown Browns at Vikings.
Browns, 2-point favorites on the road at Minnesota, over under at 53. Odell Beckham Jr. back in the fold against the Bears. You saw 5 catches, 77 yards there as he comes in. Jarvis Landry out with the injuries, so I had to pick up there. The story of the last week's game against the Bears was Myles Garrett and that defense. And you look at Minnesota, they're the heartbreak kids thus far. The overtime loss week one against Cincinnati, the missed 37-yard field goal in the shootout against Arizona, and then they took advantage of that matchup we talked about it earlier against Seattle with a 30-17 win. Baker Mayfield and company on the road. What say you, TJ?
I'm rolling with the Cleveland Browns. I believe they're a better team. You go across the board. Quarterback, offensive line, skill guys might be a push. Defensive line. I mean, you just go across the whole football position. The Cleveland Browns are better at every position. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns. 2.5 points, I'll give that up. I believe the Browns will win by at least a touchdown.
There you go. I'm going to go to the other side. Captain Kirk seeing that offense. Greg Newsome out in the secondary. There's my obligatory Northwestern reference, at least before we get to the Chargers. Chris Hubbard out for the offensive line. You do have Dalvin Cook expected to play. Alexander Mattison. I can sing some Hamilton for you if you want. Now I'll leave that your ears safe for the morning here as he acquitted himself quite nicely. Like the Minnesota offense to hang with him, although he could be wearing Myles Garrett like a suit as this game goes on. This is one of my most intriguing matchups because the Vikings, again, a couple of hard luck
finishes. Is Dalvin Cook going to play?
They're saying he's supposed to play.
Mattison had a fantastic game last week.
Yeah, over 100. And a guy who's played really well in Cook's absence. If you can get the two of those guys going, maybe mix it up a bit.
It's going to be an interesting – I believe Mike Zimmer is going to always field a competitive team. People forget Kevin Stefanski, former offensive coordinator for Zim and a Minnesota Vikings team. So they might have somewhat of an idea, but he should also have an idea of how to attack Zim going against him in practice for so long. So, you know, that storyline there should make for a good game.
Let's get that chess match going. But first, we go to Isaac Lohenkron. At Isaac Lohenkron on Twitter, where you find him. Find out all the latest, who's in, who's out, and what else is happening in our sporting universe. Hey, buddy.
Mike and TJ, who's in? New Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Richard Sherman. Ian Rappaport reporting today that Sherman will make his Buccaneers debut tonight in the starting lineup for the showdown against the Patriots in New England in Major League Baseball on Saturday night. Seattle's Mitch Haniger had 5 RBI, including his 39th home run, as the Mariners defeated the Angels 6-4. So that means going into the final day of baseball's regular season, we've got the Yankees and Red Sox holding the 2 American League wildcard spots at 91 and 70, but the Mariners and Blue Jays are both just 1 game behind them at 90 and 71. In the National League on Saturday night, the San Diego Padres won at San Francisco in 10 innings, 3-2, so the Giants fail to clinch the National League West. Their magic number remains 1 going into the final day of the regular season. The Los Angeles Dodgers NL West title hopes still alive as they defeated the Milwaukee Brewers on Saturday night 8-3 as Julio Urias became the first 20-game winner in the majors this year. In college football on Saturday night, Mississippi State won at 15th-ranked Texas A&M 26-22. Will Rogers threw for 408 with 3 touchdown passes. Hawaii knocked off number 18 Fresno State 27-24. Arizona State knocked off number 20 UCLA 42-23 in Pasadena. Number 22 Auburn victorious at LSU 24-19. And fourth-ranked Penn State blanked Indiana 24-0. Mike and TJ.
Thanks so much, Ilo. Appreciate you. Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday here on Fox Sports Radio. Going through the games of Week 4 and prognostications and, well, one that we had to eventually run up on here, TJ. Yeah, here it is.
Lions and Bears.
Trey Flowers out in this one. The starting lineup. It's Justin Fields in the Matt Nagy-led offense. All my diatribes can be found on the podcast regarding Matt Nagy. Bears a favorite in this one, 2.5 or 3, depending where you are. 42.5, they really lowered that over-under. Bears defense has played well in spots. Problem is, if you're on the field 45 minutes, you're tripping over your tongue eventually, TJ.
This game here, man, is interesting. you would look and say, oh, the Bears have the better team. They beat the Bengals, and the Bengals are 3-1. The Lions, they compete. Play hard under Dan Campbell. The Lions are competent on offense. They can move the ball. They can score points. They have an idea of what they want to be and how they want to do it. I'm going with the Detroit Lions to get their first win of the season. I just don't understand. I believe the criticism that Matt Nagy faced last week, you know, not utilizing Justin Fields' strength, I guarantee you see a different game plan. Will it be enough? I'm just not so sure. I just like the way the Lions, they compete, they fight. You look week one, they're down big to the Niners, and they fought back and made the game look closer than what it was, but they fought back and they competed to the end.
It's funny. Go ahead, TJ.
I'm going with the Lions.
I love it. I've been on the Matt Nagy, even though they've gone to the playoffs two of the last 3 years, that on record that he just is out of his depths. And when we look at last week, all of a sudden I felt a lot of energy come my way as they watched that game play out, because you saw nothing to try to utilize all the attributes that make Justin Fields a different quarterback. You know you don't have a good offensive line. You knew that coming into the season. You've known that for the last couple of years, yet you did nothing except leave him sitting in the pocket, and that's going to expose where the deficiencies are as to where the learning is. And that, again, goes back to coaching and scheme and everything else, but it was just a tough watch, to say the least. That said, I think we see more of it today, and in a close game, the slight home edge. I hate picking the Bears. So I'm going to abstain for the moment. Chris Perfett, our technical
producer.
Man,
pick your hometime team,
yeah,
man. That's your hometown team.
I pick against them more than I pick for them, actually. TJ, I got to be honest with you. Chris Perfett covers the Lions on Pride of Detroit. At Chris Perfett, where you find him on Twitter. Give us your quick 60-second synopsis here, Chris.
So I think there's a couple things. TJ mentioned the offense for Detroit. It's going to really depend on Jared Goff to have a consistent game. He's had very good halves, but then he's also had halves where he just kind of fades away. And I think all Detroit's kind of asked for is a offense that will remain consistent. If they can do that, they can put pressure on the Bears. On the defensive side, they showed a lot of promise with their exotic packages they brought against the Ravens, held them to, you know, only 19 points, 16, right, until Justin Tucker hits an all-timer. And I think that's going to be their key there, is you want to get to Justin Fields early on enough, because if you let him test your pass coverage, that's where the Lions are lacking. So we'll see. It's going to be a real test to see how the Bears' offensive line, very, very weak, is going to hold up against this.
There you go. That was as nice 3 minutes as we could do on the Bears. I got full rants. Yeah, I'll retweet them out at Swollen Dome, TJ, because they got I got pretty loud and obnoxious on Chicago radio earlier this week. So let's go to the next game.
Chiefs at Eagles.
All right, here we go. We got a 7-point line in this one. Kansas City on the road at Philly. 54.5, your total. Frank Clark listed as questionable. There's a big one for you, as well as Chris Jones, also with a wrist injury for him. Orlando Brown, full participant, which is always a nice help when you can get one of your offensive linemen back. Tyreek Hill with a rib injury. Looks like he's going to be a full participant as well. On the other side, the Eagles, one of their tackles, Malata, is out. So you have to kind of move around, and that's the key for Jalen Hurts. As to, we've seen the inconsistency of that offense in Nick Sirianni's first year for the Eagles thus far. But for Kansas City, can the defense show up for one more stop, TJ? I mean, that's it. They're going to put points up, and it's going to be sporadic, because you got the big, or I should say herky-jerky would be the best way to describe it, because you got a lot of big plays. But we talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire earlier. I've been looking at Marlon Mack. And then we can play the return of the Mac repeatedly when we talk about that team.
The Chiefs need to stay in contention in their own division, let alone the AFC.
Yeah.
That division they're in,
ain't
Denver
no joke.
Hasn't lost. The Raiders, the Chargers just beat them. The Chiefs need this game bad, and I believe they'll win going away. When The thing that concerns me about the Chiefs, when you're talking to spread, the Chiefs, they win, they don't cover.
What is it, 2-12 in their last 14 or something like
they
that?
They never cover. I believe this will be a game that they do cover. The only thing that concerns will the Eagles be smart enough to say we're going to test their run defense? That's been their Achilles heel, talking to Kansas City Chiefs. Jalen Hurts threw for a ton of yards against the Cowboys, but they did not want to run the ball.
They called three runs. Miles Sanders just stood there. Like, now, how are you not using him?
They did get down early, and they had to go. They didn't have many plays in the first half. But this will be a game that the Chiefs need, and they need to win big because, like I said, that division, they can be out of it really quick, and it will be a shock and a surprise to many, if not all, that are fans of football, that the Kansas City Chiefs are playing this bad. They'll get back on it, and they'll roll the Eagles today.
I will take that as well, double up with a big point spread, 7 on the road. But I think this is a burial. Hopefully Andy Reid's feeling better. That was one of the other headlines from last week of him needing to check into the hospital, get checked out, dehydration, and other things. So good thoughts to him as he gets back on the field this week, again in his old stomping grounds as well. All right, let's get one more game in.
Titans and Jets.
Yeah, I figured we had time here, but that 7.5 point spread looks a little large. It's down to 6 as the week went on. Why? Because you got A.J. Brown and Julio Jones not going to play. Bud Dupree is out, as well as Caleb Farley in that secondary. Taylor Lewan did practice fully for the Jets. Elijah Moore is out, the wide receiver, and Marcus May missing from that secondary. That said, now we're looking, Robert Saleh saying all the things he can positively about his young quarterback, Zach Wilson. 46 is the total here. Tennessee, we watched them get stomped by Arizona in the opener. They win a big game against Seattle. I'm not sure where they are, but certainly we'll see an awful lot of Derrick Henry today with those two wide receivers out.
I believe the Tennessee Titans will go run a pass ratio. So fall somewhere 60-40, 65-35 run. You got your two receivers out. You're going to lean on Derrick Henry. You're going to lean on Derrick Henry when they're playing, let alone when they're out. And so I believe they'll run the ball a lot more. I'm going to take the Jets to cover in this.
Look at that. There you go.
I really am. It's when you're losing your two best receivers, Saleh's a good defensive coach. He didn't forget how to coach defense. They'll load the box. They'll make those receivers who aren't used to being the guy be the guy. Their corners need to hold up. That defense, I believe, will play well enough to keep them in a game. They may lose, but I believe they'll cover.
Yeah, I think this one's a grind it out, get your win, and move on if you're Tennessee. Just try to keep the rest of that squad healthy. I'm with you. I think Saleh does some things defensively. They got some good personnel. Losing May hurts in the secondary, but since you don't have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to deal with back there, perhaps not as big a loss, at least in the short term. So, yeah, I'll take Tennessee to win. Jets getting that sizable spread. We have two more games to go on the slate. One of them is a huge Monday nighter. We'll have it all on the line, and it'll be here in Los Angeles. We'll talk about it next here on Fox. Welcome back in. It's Fox Sports Radio's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon, TJ Houshmandzadeh. We've got a little bit of technical stuff going on here on a Sunday morning here on Fox Sports Radio. Two more games to get through. Thanks to our team of Isaac and Chris and Nick making us sound oh so pretty this morning. We've gotten through most of the slate, disagreed on a number of games. Great to have TJ's insight throughout this morning. New voices. Always good to spar a little bit on some of these games, but get the inside dope, as it were, from a 12-year veteran in the league. You hear him weekly up on game, 9 to 11 Pacific time. TJ alongside my old partner here on Sundays, LeVar Arrington. You hear him in the morning now, two pros and a cup of Joe with Jonas Knox and Brady Quinn. Give that a listen to start your day as you get out and about. But TJ and LeVar and Plaxico Burress 2 hours every Saturday, getting you through the college games, but also giving you insights of the different big stories that you see throughout the week as only they can. Find me, the I Want Your Flex podcast, fantasy podcast that I do with Dan Beyer each week. That's up as well. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your audio. All of those things. Just download them, evangelize, tell your friends and neighbors, whether you like them or not. Bring more ears. That's what we want. We want the masses. And when you give us feedback, we appreciate it, right? Because sometimes, you know, we love the adulation, but sometimes the other, you need someone to get after you, right? Like an old coach getting after you, TJ. Sometimes you need, you know, the spur coming into you.
Depends on who you are as a player. It really does. But your coaches and your teammates, they know who you are as a person, as a player. If you need to have that fire lit, so to speak, they'll apply that. But if not, a lot of guys, though, man, got to be self-motivated. If you need somebody to get you going, you're in the wrong business, well, and it's not going to last long.
But that's all the talk for years of the, he's got extra motivation. I'm like, he's suiting up. Like, when they talk about playoffs or Super Bowls or whatever, I was like, right, if you're not up for a game.
You're motivated all the time.
Right, that's what got you to where you're at.
You can't do it. Like, just to prepare, just to train in the offseason, to practice. Like, when you walk into the stadium, whether it's home or opposing, for that game, it's just like you just smile like, I can't wait. It's an anxiousness, a little nervousness. You just can't wait to go out there. It's nothing like it, man. Like, I watch games right now, and I'll see stuff, and it'll piss me off like how I used to act when I was playing. And I'm not even playing right now. And it just never kind of goes away, man. It's just the juices, especially a big game. You just eager for kickoff, and you want to watch a good game. When I was playing, you wanted to play a good game. And whatever happened during the course of the game, it happened. But, yeah, it's nothing like it, man.
All right, well, let's get to the big Monday night game. Give it a minute here as we've got a huge one here in Los Angeles.
Raiders at Chargers.
Raiders, one of the big stories of the early season. 3-point underdogs here as they come to SoFi Stadium, 52.5. And as Derek Carr alluded to, it'll feel like a home game. Can't wait to see what the percentages are, but certainly a raucous SoFi. Chargers and Justin Herbert, great story. Slater and that offensive line doing a good job thus far. 52.5, expecting some points in this one, TJ.
This is a division game, man. It's kind of tricky on who would – like, to me, this game, they're evenly matched up. But I'll lean to the Chargers coming off a big victory against the Chiefs. It's a letdown. It's just something about Herbert, man, that defense with Staley being the head coach, they're always going to understand what to do. I just believe he's that good of a coach. Obviously, the skilled guys speak for themselves, and Herbert being the QB, you spoke on the offensive line. I'm taking the Los Angeles Chargers.
Josh Jacobs' game time decision means if you fired up Peyton Barber in your fantasy leagues, you might want to do it again. I will take the Chargers minus the points as well in a big one. And then the last game, we're going to skip the sounder. We got to pick them all. New Orleans minus 7.5 with the Giants missing several receivers.
I'm going with the Saints. That defense will carry the day for them. New Orleans Saints.
Nicely done. It's fun getting to meet you on air. Hope to see you around the studios again here at Fox Sports Radio again, TJ. Thanks for hanging out this morning.
Mike, I appreciate it. My pleasure, baby.
Be good, my guy. All right, enjoy the games. It's week 4 of your National Football League.